Political action committees are behind a chunk of the political advertising we see on TV and online. We call them PACs, and despite handling millions of dollars in an election year, they're able to keep much of their funding anonymous. One new super PAC, called Americans for Progressive Action USA, reported $2.5 million in spending to the Federal Elections Commission. But after trying to follow that money, our guest was hard-pressed to find anyone who'd gotten paid by the group or even heard of it. Zach Montalero is a campaign reporter for Politico. Zach, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Political action committees, more or less a fact of our political life right now. We hear about them often. So before we get into this strange tale, remind us what a PAC or super PAC actually is, who or what makes it up.
Yeah, so there are actually two different things. A PAC and a super PAC are similar but related. A PAC is a group of people, sometimes tied to a politician, sometimes not, that can spend on elections, but they have a limit. They can only raise $5,000, give or take, depending on the election from individuals. A super PAC is kind of like that, but supercharged, basically. Super PACs can collect an unlimited amount of money from individuals, from labor unions, from corporations. They do have to disclose their donors on either monthly or quarterly basis to the Federal Election Commission, but there's really no restrictions on what they can spend and whom they can take money from. If it's an American or an American company, they can take the money. If it's a foreign company or a foreign national, they can't. But other than that, they can just take in millions and millions of dollars from whoever they want.
And where can they spend it?
So they can spend it on basically whatever they want related to elections. That's television advertising, radio advertising, paying to come knock on your door, paying for polling. There's really very little limits on what they can do. What they can't do is they can't coordinate directly with campaigns. So if I'm running for the Senate, I can't have a super PAC that I directly coordinate with. That rule has been stretched a lot. Sometimes you see super PACs and organizers of super PACs tweeting things that are very clearly messages to campaigns or vice versa, but they can't just pick up the phone and call the campaign and say, I would like you to do so-and-so.
The title of your article for Politico is The Bizarro Tale of a Phantom Super PAC and Our Sleuthing to Find It. Bizarro really does describe what you found about Americans for Progressive Action USA. When did you realize something was strange with this particular group?
Yeah, so I, for a hobby, I suppose, I look at a lot of campaign finance reports. It's what I do for fun. Take that for what you will. But what really caught my interest with that was this was a group I'd never heard of, and I'm fairly familiar with a lot of these groups. And about 2 weeks ago at this point, they reported on back-to-back day spending $2.5 million on about a half dozen competitive Senate races. That's a lot of money. It's not a huge amount of money in elections. $2.5 million won't get you the whole world. But this early in a race, this far out, that's a significant chunk. And I tried to do some digging, tried to figure out who they were, what they did. And the long story short is that nobody's ever heard of this group. I talked to about a dozen Democratic operatives who are kind of in this universe, who work on these Senate races, and campaign finance experts. No one has heard of it. And more confusingly, the folks listed as vendors for these groups, that the folks at this super PAC reported to the federal government saying that this is who we spent the money with, said that they have no record of this group, they've never heard of this group, and they're pretty sure the group doesn't exist, actually.
And these aren't just like random individuals that would have been paid for things. You're talking about companies like Verizon, Facebook, Google.
Yeah, so it was kind of split into three groups. It was the three major tech companies, Verizon, Facebook, Google, that accounted for about a third of that reported spending, about $800,000. And there was Facebook and Google, both publicly maintained databases that you can go look at online with political ads running on their platforms. You know, they're not the most intuitive in the universe, but they're usable, and there's no evidence of that spending. And Verizon actually got back and said, yep, we've never heard of this group. They did not spend all this money with us. The second group is kind of established political vendors, people who are well-known in the organization, well-known in the Democratic universe, who are running television ads, creating these ads. Reached out to them. They, too, had never heard of them. They said pretty definitively, this is not our client. We were not paid the money by this group because we've never heard of this group. We have no idea who these folks are. Then the third group, which is the one I couldn't track down, was a couple of vendors that by all, from all accounts, do not appear to actually exist. They allegedly spent this money on vendors that aren't registered with the federal government, that aren't registered with the D.C. government as being a business incorporated here, that have no other past records of working in the FEC, and really, from what, as far as I could tell, have no actual presence and may not actually exist.
So did you have any luck then finding out even who was involved in running or funding Americans for Progressive Action USA?
Yeah, so that's the confusing part, is not really. So one gentleman by the name of Evan Jones is listed on public records as being the treasurer for the group. So the treasurer for a super PAC is the person basically responsible for keeping the books. Some organizations, the treasurer is also the person who actually does the spending. I emailed him, I called him, his phone number listed in public records, which you by law have to put correct information in, was disconnected, did not respond after the first email I sent to him. So none for that. The donors are also public, but we were not able to personally track down and identify the donors. But even they were a little confusing. Committees have to report, and that's both for super PACs, regular PACs, and actual campaign committees, have to report anybody who donates over $200 to the Federal Election Commission on a regular basis, be it every month for some groups or every 3 months for most groups. The donors they had listed, I could find no evidence of them actually existing on the internet, which, you know, it's not unusual. Individuals, especially those who could theoretically be giving millions of dollars, may not want to be tracked. But they also have to list their occupation. And I called the group listed as an occupation for one of these donors, the ACLU, the Civil Liberties Organization. And they said that person by that name both didn't work for their Texas organization, which is where that person reported to have lived, and didn't work for their national organization. So it, you know, I couldn't definitively track down these donors, which in and of itself was kind of interesting, but the information I could try to verify did not come back as true.
Zach Montalero is a campaign reporter for Politico, and we're talking about some research that he's done digging into a new PAC that doesn't seem to actually exist, even though it's filed filings with the Federal Elections Commission. And this is Central Time. Zach, this is certainly strange, although it is true, false filings and scams do happen, but they're usually different from what's happening here, right?
Yeah, so, you know, there's the false filings, which happen not infrequently, that kind of represent usually a joke candidate, one that may not be appropriate to say on the radio. Uh-huh. But sometimes think of somebody like Batman. Batman is quite frequently running for president. Obviously, Batman is not running for president. It's normally some kid just kind of putting a filing, joking in, and it's one and done. And there's also this other universe of scam PACs. Scam PACs do everything legitimately through the FEC. They report accurate information to the Federal Election Commission. What they're doing is kind of misrepresenting what they actually do. A traditional scam PAC would represent itself as kind of fighting for a pretty globally, you know, amenable cause, saying I'm fighting for cancer patients. I'm advocating on behalf of police officers and firefighters. What they actually end up doing is that these scam PACs say that they're raising money on behalf of these groups, but then that money, almost the entirety of it, ends up back in the pockets of the people organizing the PAC. So they'll say, please, they'll send you a letter, they'll call you up saying, just give us a $10 donation, a $5 donation to help represent firefighters in Washington, D.C. What they'll actually do is they'll take 95%, 99% of your donation and donations of thousands of other people, and that kind of goes back into their pockets, and they'll do almost no political work. But this super PAC, Americans for Progressive Action USA, doesn't seem to fall into that category either, because they seem to have filed a fake report, and there's no evidence that they're actually raising money from small dollar people. They're not calling up you, your listeners, your mother, your father, asking for small dollars. That what this super PAC reported to have done was take money from millionaires who are not normally the target for scam PACs either. So it's kind of different in that aspect as well.
So do we have any sense then why this PAC made the filing with the FEC without actually spending any money?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Out of the dozen or so people I talked to, everyone had their own a theory for potentially why. The one I found most convincing, and since we couldn't actually reach the PAC, it's merely a theory, but the one I found most convincing is trying to show some level of influence in D.C. You know, spending money on behalf of elected officials will not guarantee you a meeting with a politician, but it certainly will help doing it, right? And a lot of people won't go through the extra step of actually checking, hey, did these ads run? Did this person actually support my election? So a theory that was floated that this group could potentially be looking to try to get some level of influence in Washington, or it could be a fairly elaborate prank. It'd be kind of a lot of work for an elaborate prank, because this filing was not like those joke candidates. There was quite a few levels of sophistication in this that regular people just wouldn't know how to do. So that our best working theory was that this is someone trying to find some level of influence, and that they're not going to get it at this point.
Wow. So even under normal circumstances, though, a PAC is only required to disclose so much information. What kinds of things can they effectively keep confidential legally?
Yeah, so super PACs can keep some interesting things confidential. So under law, super PACs, party committees, basically anyone you give money to for a political campaign that's regulated by the FEC has to disclose the name and address and occupation of anyone who gives over $200. That's true for Joe Biden's campaign, for President Trump's campaign. That's true for the super PACs. But what they do, they disclose it on a fairly irregular basis. It's either every month for these super large ones or every quarter. And they don't have to disclose their spending in the most minute detail. What a lot of these super PACs do is that they give all their money to one particular vendor, and that vendor ends up having sub vendors and things like that. A kind of concerning thing that's come up recently as well, too, is the rise of gray money. Super PACs are not dark money. Super PACs do have to disclose to the federal government. But what has happened more and more frequently is that super PACs are becoming gray money. That money is being filtered through nonprofits, which do not need to disclose their donors, or companies, which are very hard to, you know, actually track down who owns them. And those can actually give to super PACs so that you can look up who donates money to a super PAC. And their only listed donor is like AB Corporation Inc., which is registered in Delaware, a state that famously has not a lot of restrictions on who can register a corporation. So that's kind of gray money, that it's not quite dark money. We do have some vague idea of who's giving the money, but we don't have a perfect picture. We don't know the name, the occupation, what these people are doing who are actually giving the money.
We know that some politicians on the left have sworn off money from super PACs. Bernie Sanders committed to that in his campaigns. Elizabeth Warren did the same in the early part of her recent campaign. But it sounds like more progressive politicians are accepting PACs as part of their reality, when I think sometimes people associate them with the right. Are we seeing signs of this across the board?
Yeah, you know, super PACs are here to stay right now. They're here because of the Citizens United ruling that happened almost a decade ago at this point. But they're here to stay. Campaigns, an interesting thing is candidates can say, I don't want a super PAC, and supporters can still set one up. That's where the part of campaigns and super PACs can't coordinate with each other, is that somebody could spend money on your behalf. They're called independent expenditures, technically. So they can spend it independently of what you wish. Does that usually happen? No. Normally a super PAC is blessed by a politician, saying that this is set up by their former aides or former close staffers, so it's a signal to donors, but that happens too. But even some more progressive groups are starting to register super PACs. Justice Democrats, which is a group that is very famous for backing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the freshman representative from New York, actually just recently registered a super PAC within the last month. That's nothing that normally jives with their vision of the world, but it's kind of an increasing sign that large money organizations like this are here to stay. Some aides of Senator Sanders set up a super PAC recently, too. Mm-hmm. So they're here to stay. They're here to stay, basically.
All right. Well, then I suspect we'll have many more conversations about this. Zach, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Zach Montalero is a campaign reporter for Politico. Still ahead on Central Time, we're talking about the newest Marquette poll and how Wisconsin residents feel about the state's stay-at-home order and other current issues. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.